ragged jacket, feeling for his concealed blade. Beneath the stark overhead lighting, his white hair seemed like a veil of blazing magnesium, his eyes glinting like tiny rubies. He gripped the hilt tight between finger and thumb.
Might it not be a risk worth the taking to try to capture this person alive? Then we can question him concerning the whereabouts of our three missing companions.
No, Doc. Too risky.
The moment the figure appeared, Jack sent his knife spinning through the air, aimed toward the throat of his intended victim, Christy Roth. The woman's reflexes were miraculous. The knife hit the wall and angled off in a shower of snowy plaster.
Gaia, that's a fine howdy-do from my oldest friends.
Christy! Sorry. You all right?
Jack ran quickly toward her, touching her shoulder lightly with a hand as he passed her. He stooped to pick up and sheath his knife, first checking the point to make sure it hadn't been damaged by the miss.
I'm fine.
Christy straightened, touching her head where the knife had flown by. Mildred put her arms around the taller woman.
Thank God you're all right, honey. They didn't hurt you with their experiments?
No. I think they mean well. They just ask me a lot of questions. Then they let me go again.
We found out what they're doing here, Christy.
What?
Cloning. They're replicating animals and humans, and we believe that they don't mean well, as you put it.
Really? Why?
We're not sure. It seems that it's what they've been working toward for all this time. They want to create a sort of cleansed master race. Doc's right, Christy. They don't mean well, any more than the Nazis meant well when they created Dachau and Auschwitz and Belsen. Don't let them kid you.
What are you going to do?
First thing was to find you. We've done that. Now we're going to try to get away from here and look for Ryan and Trader outside. There's still no word of them.
Personally, I am very strongly in favor of seeking out the throbbing, infected heart of this complex and lancing the pestilence.
What?
Doc wants to blow the place up before we leave.
All right! That sounds good to me. Let's go light the fire.
I'm not at all sure we should do that.
Mildred noticed in passing that the bright sentient hair of her friend was much more tightly curled than usual, in its most defensive mode.
Have you heard anything from Dad, Christy? Or any word about him?
Dad? Ryan? No. They didn't tell me anything at all. Just that he was lost in the snow with Trader.
You sure you're all right, Christy?
I'm fine. It's just that I'm worried about Ryan. I want to see him as soon as possible.
We don't know for sure that he's still alive, Christy. The storm was terrible, and there's supposed to be that muty grizzly out there as well.
Oh, he's alive, all right. I know that.
You can feel it?
Feel?
Sure. Feel Ryan's alive. You know.
Christy stared at Jack, her brow furrowed, as if she were trying to work out a complex geometric theorem.
Enough talk. Let's move.
Buford was leading Ryan and Trader through a maze of narrow corridors, past research labs and operating rooms, storerooms, and a vast area that was filled with comp discs.
This is all the work that's gone on. Our past, our records.
Are you taking us to Christy? Because if you don't, then you're dead meat, Buford.
I told you! She's almost certainly in with Professor Crichton at the moment. He has his own private suite at the back of the laboratory, where the MAT-TRANS units are kept. All your blasters will be there as well, so you can get away quickly and not harm anyone.
And the rest of our friends are in their rooms?
Yes.
But there'll be SecMen there.
Ryan had the Sig Sauer ready in his right hand.
Of course! Crichton always has his guards around, but I'll help you take them by surprise and put them down easily.
Trader squeezed the cheek of the sallow scientist.
You're a regular prince among men, Buford, ain't you?
Ouch! Survival is what matters. If I die, then the last few steps of our marathon of research might be damaged and seriously held back for years.
Is that so? Then we'll have to be real sure we take good care of you, Ladro.
Christy stopped, bringing everyone to a halt.
If Ryan's in the Institute, then he'll probably make for the heart of it, won't he?
Could be, but we don't know what the heart is, or where it is.
I would not be too surprised to learn that Professor Crichton himself might be found at the core of this wicked place, rather like some vast shelob of a spider, waiting with infinite patience for its victims to enmesh themselves in its web.
Doc's right. Ryan'll head for Crichton's quarters.
I don't suppose you know the way, do you? Did the bastards take you there during their experiments on you?
Yeah, they did. Follow me.
Ryan and Trader had stopped to hold a brief council of war. Buford had brought them to within a door and a corridor of Crichton's quarters. They were situated close to the end of the research wing, where the botched experiment victims had been held.
We've been lucky so far.
Yeah.
Twice they'd been nearly picked off by fast-moving sec patrols, finding empty rooms to hide in at the last moment.
When do we chill this little fuck?
Trader gestured toward Buford, who was leaning on his stick, looking tense and exhausted.
When we have to, not before.
We could take him out right now. He's brought us where we want to be.
No.
Like I said, Ryan, you've gotten soft being away from me.
You can say that, Trader, but you can't really expect me to comment.
All right. But I'll watch the white coat like a hawk after a rabbit. One wrong step and he's off the mountain.
Buford, are you sure Crichton's in there?
At this time of day, yes. His chamber is next to the main lab. And after all that's been going on in the last couple of hours, he'll be resting in there. His health is far from excellent.
Right. We'll pay him a call right now. You go in ahead of us, Buford, and take the edge off any sec men in there. We'll be right at your heels.
I'm telling you, this is the best way to do it. Head for Crichton's quarters. If Ryan and Trader are anywhere around, then that's where they'll be. And I have to see Ryan quickly.
Of course you do. We all want to see him again.
Are you really sure that this is a way to get to the headman's place? And how come you know the back ways in this warren?
I was brought and taken back in different ways, and they also showed me around a lot. Through here.
They went into a narrow room with doors at either end, cutting a corner off two corridors. There was a box on one of the shelves that brought the armorer up short.
Hey, hold on.
What? Are you trying to fuck me around here? We have to get moving.
Whoa, simmer down, Christy.
JB reached up and took down the heavy box. On the end, facing them, in neat, stenciled lettering, was the single word, Grenz.
Now, these could be useful. Most are blank training Grenz, but there's a couple of burners. One blue and scarlet implode with a loose fuse. Two delays and a couple of frags. Here, Jack, you take the delays. Abe, you carry the frags. I'll pocket the burners.
You don't need those. You've got blasters enough.
It's better to have weapons and not need them than to need them and not have them. Trader used to say that. Oh, I guess he still does, huh?
Right. There, Christy, that didn't take long. Now, lead on.
Buford was pushed into the big room, stumbling and nearly falling, only saving himself with his stick. Ryan and Trader were right behind him. It was furnished like a bedroom, with a large mattress laid on the floor at one side, covered in a pale green duvet. There, his head resting on pillows, was Crichton. He looked pale, his eyes closed, hands folded on his chest. Ryan was more concerned with the three sec men who'd been standing around a table, picking at some cold meats and bowls of varicolored mush. They had turned around as soon as the door opened, then relaxed when they saw it was Professor Buford. By the time they saw the two Outlanders, it was too late and they were too slow.
Blasters on the floor. Then move over away from the table and lie down.
The man hesitated a moment.
You know, we're giving you a chance to stay alive. You might want to do what you're fucking told.
The cold, wolfish smile on the carved granite face told the sec guards that Trader was a man who meant what he said. They all obeyed him. By now, Crichton had awakened and was sitting up in his bed, hand reaching out toward a bell pull that hung from the ceiling. He froze as Ryan turned the Sig Sauer toward him.
Well, looky here.
Trader pointed toward a smaller table. On it, in a jumbled pile, lay a Smith & Wesson M4000 scatter gun, an Uzi, a Smith & Wesson Double Action 640, a .357 Magnum, a Czech revolver, and a couple of other big handguns.
That's useful. All right, Crichton, you twisted old fuck. What have you done with our friends?
Where's Professor Gibson? Have you murdered her?
Crichton was trying to put on a brave face, but his head was trembling like someone with an ague. Ryan felt a familiar surge of anger. The deep scar that ran from his right eye to the corner of his mouth started to pulse.
We haven't even started the killing yet. Wait till we hit our stride.
Can I go now?
No, Buford. I want you right here at my side. Just in case any traps start springing closed.
Trader stood over the trio of huddled sec men,